I hope you have a Merry Christmas, Happy New Year. I was really touched this morning by two things. That it's the year of the Lord, which is really a day of grace. We're in the grace age. And then I received a gift from one of the brethren, and it was really touching. So I praise God for that. As people wind down from the kitchen, we're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and we're going to complete today the mini-series on the grace of giving. The grace of giving. First, we started out with an example of giving. Then we had an exhortation of Christian giving. Then we last time met and had an explanation of Christian giving. And today, Lord willing, we'll talk about encouragement for Christian giving. Now, some things that just to stir up your memory is that grace is letting go and letting God. Grace is a gift not to be held on to, but to be poured out on others. And therefore, we are just vessels or conduits or instruments of God's grace to others. Given is an expression of your love for one another. Giving is a way of preferring your brothers and sisters over yourself. Therefore, we are to ease one another's burdens when it is in our hand to do so as an integral part of an equal brotherhood. We saw the testimony of others, and we saw the greatest testimony in our Lord Jesus Christ in 2 Corinthians 8, 9. It says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you, through his poverty, might be rich." It is always good to reference examples of good behavior as an object lesson in righteous living. God used the willingness of the Corinthians as an object lesson to urge on the Macedonians to take up a collection for the poor saints in Jerusalem. But then, later on, God used the Macedonians as an object lesson of obedience to the Corinthians to finish what they started. So therefore, their giving would be effectual in uniting Jews and Gentiles into one body called the church. Now we turn to the encouragement of Christian giving, 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 15. And let us read. "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he has purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. As it is written, he that dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor. His righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministered seed to the sower both ministered bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. Whilst by the experiment of this administration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. And by their prayer for you, which long after you, for the exceeding grace of God in you, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift." Father in heaven, we thank you for teaching us these principles of giving and righteous living. And Lord, I hope that we have learned that everything we have belongs to you. and that we are not to withhold anything. For you did not withhold your Son from going to the cross on our behalf, that we might be redeemed and bought back from the slave market of sin, never to return again. You gave your all, and you keep giving and giving and giving again. The whole universe is at your disposal. So, Father, help us to be better givers. For even the Lord Jesus said it is more blessed to give than to receive. We commit this time to you in the name of the worthy one, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Encouragement to Christian giving. Or you could say the reward of generosity. The Believer's Knowledge Bible commentary says, in the grace of God, Christians are rewarded in three ways. One, the givers are enriched. You see that in verses 6 through 10. Two, the receiver's needs are met, verses 11 and 12. And three, God, the source of all blessings, is praised, verses 13 to 15. So we read in verse 6, the principle of sowing and reaping. You know, remember, and we said it in the prayer, when Paul was talking to the Ephesian elders, when he was about to see their face for the last time, he said, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said it is more blessed to give than to receive. And if you look in your Bible, you never see that, do you? Except for in Acts 20, verse 35. But apparently, this was the expression our Lord Jesus Christ used quite frequently. It became him, because he was always giving to others and meeting their needs, whether physically or spiritually, and a lot of times both, to show us, demonstrate God's love for us. The word for blessed means happy, meaning it will make you happier to give than to receive. In a similar fashion, Paul uses the example of the farmer. How do you think it would affect the farmer and his family if we would only planted seed last year and skipped planting seed this year? Would he still reap the same harvest? Not at all. The principle is that he who sows sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he who sows liberally will also reap bountifully. The size of the harvest is proportionate to the scope of the sowing. Turn with me over to Proverbs chapter 11. Proverbs chapter 11. And we've touched on this before when we were talking about what God has given you, you are to use, and I am to use to relieve others and further the gospel. Proverbs 11, verse 24 says, there is that scattered and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more that is meet or necessary, but it tendeth to poverty. The liberal soul shall be made fat, and he that watereth shall be watered also himself. He that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. And if you go down to verse 30, I love this verse. Anyone that loves to see people come to know the Lord would love this verse and other verses that we will get to. But it says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Now, the greatest winner of souls is the Lord Jesus Christ. And we can learn a lot from him in our day-to-day witness. But here we see a couple examples. He that uses what he has, more shall be given unto him or her. Because God could use you as an instrument of his grace. But it also has a nice, Matthew Henry has this quote, but I like this, especially if you're a teacher. It helps you to be encouraged in the Lord, is that he that uses his knowledge to teach others shall himself be taught of God. I like that. He that uses his knowledge to teach others shall himself be taught of God. An example of this is J. Vernon McGee, who grew up in Oklahoma City, where his daddy, was killed in a cotton gin. All the neighbors brought food over to the bereaving family. And one day a lady was attending the same church recalled how as a little girl her mother cooked up all these dishes, a great deal of food, and sent it over to the house. She said, "I never knew that years later I would be listening to you. We gave you physical food. Now you supply our spiritual food." You think God was in the business back then? See, material seed may reap a spiritual harvest. Turn with me over to, as you're in Proverbs, turn with me over to Psalm 126. Material seed may reap a spiritual harvest. Now, this passage speaks of possibly the return of the exiles, whether it was in the day of Sennacherib or it was in the day of Babylon after the captivity of Babylon, it's debated. But there's a prayer for restored blessings amongst the people of God, prayer for renewed fruitfulness of the land of Israel, a good year for the crops to come back to life, and then prayer for spiritual revival that would impact the surrounding nations. Verses 5 and 6 speak of this principle of sowing and reaping. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Verse 6, he that goeth forth in weeping, weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And it's a good picture of those who might be toiling in sorrows, that their labor is not in vain in the Lord. Principle of sowing and reaping. Now back to our passage. My wife showed me this when she was reading Alexander Strock's The Hospitality Commands. And it was a sobering thought. As an elderly single woman had attended their church. And at one time in her life, she had to travel more than an hour by bus every Sunday to attend the small suburban church. Each week after the Sunday morning service, she would eat alone in a restaurant and then spend the entire afternoon in a park or in the library so she could attend the evening service. She did this for 4 years. But what left her with sour memories of this church was the fact that in 4 years, no one invited her to their home to eat a Sunday afternoon meal or just to rest. It wasn't until she announced that she was leaving that Sunday that another elderly woman invited her home for a meal on that final Sunday. Sobering thought. Another example is when a speaker drives an hour or two and speaks at your assembly and receives a check and a handshake and a pat on the back and sent on their way, but no one invites them over to their house for a meal or provide rest from their long journey or for their long journey home or seek opportunity for further fellowship to help meet the needs of one another. See, Lisa and I have had the privilege of having a brother come over after ministry who was going to minister later on that evening, and to drive home would have been an hour and a half to come back close nearby. And that minister was able to go lay down in a bed after dinner and rest a while so that they could be renewed with their energy to meet the needs of the saints later on that night. And that was a lesson, object lesson, to Lisa and I of how we can refresh others and how they refreshed us. See, hospitality is a grace. Verse 7. Every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. The Amplified Version reads this way. Let each one give thoughtfully and with purpose, just as he has decided in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver and delights in the one whose heart is in his gift. Remember, God doesn't want what's in your hand unless he has what's in your heart. Grace is a divine impression on the heart and its reflection in the life. The key word for this passage on giving is grace. It has to start from God. W.E. Vine says, givers are to be cheerful, giving freely or liberally, of their own accord and not grudgingly, in recognition of the fact that human beings are stewards of all that belongs to God and will one day give an account of that stewardship. Every man according to his, as he purposed in his heart. See, God is looking to the heart of the matter. He doesn't want you to give if you would rather keep it to yourself. That is giving grudgingly, unwillingly, reluctantly, or with regret, or of necessity. See, God doesn't want you to give because everyone else is giving, or that it would look bad if you didn't give. That is giving out of necessity or compulsion or pressure. God doesn't want you to give unless you are giving for the right reasons. We talked about that yesterday. Willingly and gladly. I can't help but think that every summer comes along, and I want, and I'm usually late on this, but my wife and I want to get seed, and we want to sow the seed out there, and we want our lawn to be just as good as everyone else's lawn. Maybe just a little bit greener. We're given out of necessity, out of comparison, out of competition. And God says, that's not how we give. We give willingly and gladly for the benefit of others because we have been benefited ourselves. And we see why? Because God loves a cheerful giver. God is able to make all grace abound to you, to make you a spiritual powerhouse, a spiritual conduit to others, a type of spiritual waterfall, refreshing. You know, some of you came over and went swimming in the pool. I'm looking at you guys, right? It was really hot, but you were refreshed in the pool. You can be a spiritual waterfall to someone. God can make all grace abound to you. That you have all sufficiency in all things. Verse 8. That you would have all sufficiency in all things. That you will not be without any of his daily provision. Psalm 68:19 says, blessed be the Lord who daily loads us with his benefits. Even the God of our salvation. All sufficiency comes from a Greek word that says the self finds its satisfaction and sufficiency in him. The soul that is contented and competent. The soul that says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Or the Lord is my shepherd, I have what I need. What it doesn't mean is that we will accumulate material wealth, but that we will be used as fine vessels to bless others with our material blessings. 3 John 2 says, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in good health, even as thy soul prospers. your soul will prosper as you bless others. But it doesn't mean it does mean that no matter how desperate one's circumstances is or are, a person who wants to give will be able to give in dependence upon God. And we could see the object lesson of the woman at Zarephath in 1 Kings 17. See, God has already promised to bless us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ, in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Why? Because the whole universe is at his disposal, in heaven and on earth and under the earth. So now back to the analogy of the sower and the seed and administration of God's word in verses 9 and 10. As it is written, he that dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor. His righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministered seed to the sower both ministered bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruit of your righteousness. Charity reaps eternal rewards. The lesson is that God will multiply everything that you do for his name's sake. With this promise is that God will increase the fruits of your righteousness for all eternity. She hath done what she could. Some of you might remember the song by Philip Sandifer, "When It's All Been Said and When It's All Been Done." Did you go my way, child? Did you know my son? But when it's all been said and when it's all been done, he'll ask you, "Did you find your way within my son?" Remember, it is more blessed to give than to receive. If that was said about Jesus Christ, could it be said about you and me? The everlasting reward is that the giver's righteousness will remain forever. In verse 9, it's a quote from what we read earlier today in Psalm 112. And I read verse 1 says, "Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments." But this verse comes from that same passage in Psalm 112, verse 9. "He hath distributed freely, he has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever, and his horn is exalted in honor." See, God's own character is visible in the man and woman who gives liberally and holds nothing back. They will dwell forever under God's care, God's love and watchful care. See, practical righteousness endures forever as the giver is transformed into the likeness of Christ, as Mary, her word, and the way she treated Jesus with her perfume will endure forever, even today, where we benefit from that promise. See, God will honor and care for those who give of themselves to honor and care for others. We live in a day there's a lot of caretakers, a lot of people caring for people, end of the life, on the front lines. God will honor and care for them as they care for others, especially the household of God. Verse 10, we see that God supplies the seed and the need. See, God is both the provider. I love that song by Cade Thompson. Provider. God is both the provider of the seed and the multiplier of the harvest. See, giving is a way to reach the lonely and those who lack fellowship with the gospel. Note there is a provision and a promise. Now he that ministers seed to the sower both ministers bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. There's a provision. God is the source of the seed. We are to minister bread. He ministers bread for your food. And we're reminded in 1 Timothy 5:8 that we are to provide for the necessities of our family and then take care of those who call on the name of the Lord. That's the priority. But then God gives us promises in the Old Testament, as well as the New, that He will increase and open up the doors of heaven, the floodgates of heaven, so that you and I will be able to minister to others for the salvation of others. And the promise is right there. The promise of God increasing the harvest and the promise of God's word increasing your righteousness. God's promise is that He will use His people and their resources as instruments of His grace for the salvation of others. Therefore, this is a gospel of grace. We live in a day of grace. And He'll use your resources, and He'll use your place in this world as instruments for the salvation of others. So giving is very much tied to the furtherance of the gospel. Without giving, there's no gospel. Think about that. Without giving, there's no gospel. Remember, he that sows in tears will reap in joy. Now, the last few verses here, we talk about the purpose of giving. And the main purpose is that many thanksgivings will be lifted up to God. Many thanksgivings will be lifted up to God. Verse 11, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. Being enriched in everything. Your relationships, your employment, your conduct, your spiritual condition will bring greater sphere of blessedness in ministry. You will be enriched by giving of yourselves first to the Lord and to His people, to others. The ESV Bible says, for the ministry of this service is not only supplying the needs of the saints, but it is overflowing in many thanksgivings to God. The result is more and more people will give thanks to God, which will bring praise to God. When you give of yourself for the well-being of others, it will cause people to thank God for you. It will allow God to get the praise and the glory. See, remember, Paul said giving was an act of worship. Even the coming on once a week for the collection of the saints, it was supposed to be set aside as an act of worship, because it causes thanksgiving and praise to God. It is a blessing to see God's work in the lives of His people. The Corinthians believers' expression of their love for their brethren was to bring relief to the saints, the poor saints in Jerusalem. And it would overflow in many expressions of thanksgiving to God on their behalf. God would receive the glory and honor and praise, but they would remember where it came from. Think about it. When you give to the people in Ghana, who are they praising? They're praising God on your behalf. Long after the gift has been received, they're praising God for you. That's what these verses say. Let's just read 12, 13, and 14 here. For the administration of this service not only supplieth the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. While by the experiment of this ministration, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them, and unto all men, and by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you. See, the participation of the grace of giving was proof of their profession and their spiritual maturity. See, giving makes you part of the ministry. You might not be able to go to Nigeria, but you certainly could pray for those that go, and or you can give to help defray their cost on the way there, or Jamaica. Pick a country. But even in our day, people need to hear the word of God right here. They glorify God for your professed subjection as an indication of your pure devotion to the gospel of Christ for the furtherance of the gospel. See, we read there in verse 14, and by their prayer for you, which long after you for the exceeding grace of God in you, the givers receive a reciprocal reward of love and kindness through the fellowship of prayer. Your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men leads to more prayer for you. Long after they receive the gift. And they long after God's bounty in you. They look for Christ's work in you. Do we look for the grace of God in one another and then boast of the Lord? We learned last time it's okay to boast in the Lord for his work of grace in your brothers and sisters. We tend to find fault in our brothers and sisters more than we look for the grace of God. Right? It's the opposite. See, you and I are becoming living examples of the grace of giving. And therefore, the lesson in that verse is that intercessory prayers continue long after the act of giving took place in the Corinthians' lives, bringing joy to the heart of the givers, bringing joy to the heart of the saints, the receivers in Jerusalem, and to the heart of God our Father. That's what blessed means. The blessed is the man who fears God. Happy is the man that gives, for they will be refreshed when they refresh others. And then we have in verse 15, thanks be unto God for this unspeakable gift. Thanks be unto God for this unspeakable gift. This word thanks comes from the same Greek word as grace. Charis. Charis, the favor of God. Christians can pour out their hearts and their lives for the favor of God as he has poured out his favor on them. See the reciprocal of the grace of giving. It continues and flows and goes and goes and goes. No matter how much you give, you cannot outgive the giver. He has given the unspeakable gift of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die in our behalf. Again, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. Such a gift is indescribable. The word for indescribable means unspeakable. You're unable to recount or tell it fully. You can't tell the whole story fully. It's the only time that this word is used in the New Testament. It is the gift that speaks for itself. Everything we have and all that we are and do belongs to him for whom all blessings flow. The Corinthians finished the work and sent a gift to Jerusalem. And so they finally finished what they started. So in conclusion, the rewards of Christian giving are told out in this passage. Number one, a joyful experience and a joyful existence. We should be people of joy. The joy of the Lord is our salvation. You see that in chapter 8, verse 2, and chapter 9, verse 7. See. Number two, rewards of Christian giving. increase the ability to give in proportion to that which has already been given. Increase the ability to give in proportion to that which has already been given. You see that we read in chapter 9, 7 through 11. The third reward of Christian giving is increased thankfulness to God. Increased thankfulness to God, chapter 9, verse 12. The fourth reward of Christian giving is that God and the gospel are glorified. God and the gospel are glorified, chapter 9, 13 and 14. And then the fifth reward of Christian giving is the unspeakable gift. The unspeakable gift. The gift that speaks for itself. Indescribable. Inexhaustible. Inexpressible. The gift that's so extreme beyond all that you can imagine or think. Jesus Christ is that gift, brothers and sisters. The one that doesn't take the credit or needs to be recognized for his or her giving will receive a joyful existence in God's presence, even now. The one that doesn't take the credit or needs to be recognized for his or her giving will receive a joyful existence in God's presence right now and forevermore. So I leave you with this challenge on the grace of giving. Have you seen the work of God's grace in the lives of the saints here at Bristol Bible Chapel? Lately? Have you driven a Ford lately? Change that around. Have you seen the work of the grace of God in the saints at Bristol Bible Chapel lately? Father in heaven, thank you for this time. Thank you for the grace of giving. Thank you for the greatest gift of all, the Lord Jesus Christ. May each one here be blessed with the knowledge of what the scriptures say, that we wouldn't withhold what is duly yours, because that just leads to poverty. But that we would show our favor to others as you have shown favor to us. Help each and every one of us to have a nice, peaceful time this week. Maybe reach out with a card. Thank you for those that have sent cards and gifts. And just the gift of fellowship is a grace that we all need. So we thank you and praise you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ.